Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jenness.
Welcome to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. Today we've got a pretty hot topic. This has been something that's been in the work for actually quite some time. I get many people coming to me just asking about the various things that they're waiting for. It's all about you waiting for something. It's just amazing how much our population has been in a point where we're always sort of waiting for something. There's always this time we're stagnant, just sort of waiting for things to align or something. Well, we will get more into that. Before we get into that, this is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers that's been brought together to try to raise our vibration to a higher standard, a higher ability, so that as we are going through our daily lives, we are looking at things differently. The same things that are happening with other people, we're looking at that in a higher vibration. You can do that through readings. If somebody has a certain question that they would like answered, sometimes just knowing the answer, knowing the truth, changes your vibration dramatically. We've seen this many times in a reading. Also in a tuning situation where we are tuning your body, much like guitar, we're tuning a car, we're tuning something that is, everything is firing as per it needs to be. Our bodies are like that. We are like a piano where our tuning gets a little bit off. And so what those tuning forks do, that's how they actually tune a guitar or a piano, is through tuning forks of a different frequency and a tone. That's how our body works, is through vibration that way. We also have various classes that we work with. If you do energies through the home, we do things like feng shui, getting you to look at your home as a powerhouse or as a way to be able to have it detect what kind of things are going on. You can also do it through angel card reading. We have a class coming up, talks about that and how to read yourself and read other people as well. We can do many things through tuning forks and sound vibrations, through self-tuning classes. This is where you get three separate tuning forks and you could tune yourself every day through meditations that are in the book list, and we get a 6-hour course. So we're always waiting for something. I looked up some quick statistics and it says on an average overall is that we're spending 37 hours a year in line. 37 hours, that's like a day and a half just waiting in line for concerts, coffee shops. When you go through the drive-through, you know, those lineups, all those. And I think after a while, it's probably end up being more than that in some cities if it's really busy. Supermarkets, bank lineups, that kind of thing. We spend 13 hours on hold, and that's low. If you call tech support, it's not unusual to wait for 45 minutes to get a hold of somebody, or if you're talking to somebody in the government. There's one that I had to wait, I think, almost an hour and a half to get through one department to correct something on our file. But we do that all the time. And these are things that just we can measure. Other things is that found is that we're spending about 10% of our awakened life waiting for something. And these are some things that, again, that we can measure, like waiting in a doctor's office, waiting for the bus, waiting for a taxi, waiting for a text, waiting for your flight to leave, and all the connections that you have to wait on. How many people have waited 2, 4, 5 hours between connections on a flight? It's just in that waiting mode. And or on a ride, you're going to go on some kind of a fare, and then there's a ride to go on. And sometimes we'll be waiting up to 45 minutes to get on a ride. In Disney, it's probably even more than that, depending on the day. But what about the things that we can't measure? You know, like waiting for a soulmate. That's a big one. I've had that over the last couple of months. Several people have come in, and that's the first thing they say is, where is my amazing man? Where is my amazing woman? Just waiting for them. Money to arrive. Waiting for money to come in. Waiting for something that we thought we could manifest, and we're just sort of in that waiting mode. When is it going to come? It's that sort of a worry type of thing. One that I thought was really applicable is waiting for an apology. I've had some people that waits 25 years for an apology from somebody. Now, you can't even measure that. I don't even know how you can measure that. But they're like somebody who something was said many, many years ago, and they were offended, and now they're waiting for an apology. And people wait decades for some other people to give them peace by apologizing for what they said or what was done or whatever. It's all about their reaction also on social media. Well, look what happens when we look at social media. We put up a video or we post something. This is my Easter weekend, or this is the picture to my cottage. And what do? About a half hour after that? We wait to see how many people, how many likes that we get, how many people are engaging. Like if four people react in 2 hours, a lot of people get really, really depressed. It's like, that's it? And then they're waiting for 26,000 people reacted. Yay! What difference does it make? Did you have fun? Did you like it? And now you're waiting for other people to give you that closure or that happiness that other people find it very calming, if it's for the cottage or if it's a beautiful picture of a baby or of a pet that's doing something funny. We're waiting for reactions. And so Spirit wants to sort of talk about this waiting mode, waiting concept, because so many people, they really relate to this because they're always waiting for something. It's to go to the point that Spirit wants to show you how waiting, just waiting, is not good for you. It's just not putting us in the highest light possible. Look at our ancestors. If we go back 150, 200 years and more, what do you think our ancestors did? Do you think our ancestors waited as much as we are waiting today? Like right now, we are their great-great-great-great grandsons and daughters. And do you think they would be waiting as much as we are today? And look at the kind of things that's happening. I mean, in our ancestors, they were always in the mode of building something. They're preparing something, growing, maintaining, harvesting. A lot of them were farmers, and a lot of them were, if they were factory, where they're always doing something. In other words, once you're in the mode of creating and, you know, having a better life for yourself, you're in that creative mode. And people wouldn't regard that as waiting. So I think it's safe to say, or do you think it's safe to say, that our ancestors, way back when, were too busy to wait? I don't really think they cared. Like if they did something, I don't think they're looking for a reaction from other people of whether or not other people found it funny or found it whatever. And this is the time where there was no TV, no radio, no computers, no iPod, no phones, nothing. There was barely a telegraph. Telegraph was even before that. What did they do? They just had people. What do you think our ancestors did without all this stuff? Maybe we talked. Maybe they talked. Maybe they were talked with their family. They talked to friends that they could reach. If it's on a farm, usually they were a pretty big farm, so they knew one another. But all in all, you were pretty much on your own. There wasn't a lot of communication that way. So maybe we talked. But isn't that opposite to what we're doing now? Not a lot of talking going on these days. I mean, when we talk to somebody, I mean, try and get somebody on the phone these days. It's like, oh, well, let's Skype or let's text or let's do, I'll see you whenever, or give me a like on this one thing. Our language has changed dramatically. I mean, now there's LOL, IDK, DM, you DM me. It's everything shortened. Everything's abbreviated. Even in our entering our information on data, we want to be able to make it so that it is short, so we don't have to type so much or so enter so many letters because we're not talking as much. And actually, if talk about not talking, men is probably one of the ones in the beginning that are having a really hard time saying what's really going on with them. And I can say that from experience. You know, there was a few times where, like as a man growing up, there was not many people I could talk to so it would be safe. And the one friend that I did disclose, in a very short time, they used it against me. There wasn't social media at that time, but they actually used what I told against them, and it was part of a sort of a joking around. And I said that seriously. I thought that was just between you and me. So that happens once, and, you know, all of a sudden, the man doesn't speak. He doesn't want to share anything for fear that they're going to be seen as weak, for fear that they're going to be seen as not good enough, and so we just keep it all in. And that just amplifies the problem of not talking. And women are like that in some ways, too. If you have a friend that you disclose very, very private stuff to, like things that are funny that are private, next thing you know, it's on social media or someone else heard about it. And it's like, how did they find out? I only told one person. And so when you approach that person, oh, I thought you told everybody. I thought it was okay, but I said it was just between you and me. You were serious about that? So when we start looking at why we are just waiting, it's because we're not talking. We're not sharing the same way as we did even 50 years ago, letting go, going back 150 to 200 years ago, before even many of the technologies were really in play that we're enjoying today. But when people say that, you know, I have on Facebook, I have 5,000 friends. Really? Do you know them all? Oh, none. In other words, they don't go to lunch with them. They don't meet them, you know, to see how they're doing. They don't visit their family. They don't even say happy birthday to some people. It's just a number, 5,000 friends. So what difference does that make? In other words, they're all very superficial, in other words. So this goes along the time when we're waiting, because we are waiting to be popular. We are waiting to be an influencer. And we think that this is the road to do it, by just getting all these people together, getting some likes. And when it really comes down to it, it really doesn't mean much. I mean, they have industries right now in India by the hundreds and thousands of people that all they're doing is clicking, right? They're clicking. I'd like to get at least 40,000 followers. No problem. In 24 hours, you'd have it. Because each person would have, let's say, 500 URLs, and they're just clicking. So it's all about the numbers now. It's nothing about depth, nothing about what makes sense, what people are actually following you on. Then there's this false sense on top of that, that, hey, I got 40,000 people. That's great. And you could show it. But so what? What does it mean to people? How many lives have you changed? How many things are really going on? You know, when we are waiting, it's like we are part of science. There is in science a law of cause and effect. When you create something, you're not waiting. We already talked about that. So when you're building a life, when you're working hard on something and you're focused on something so bad, I'm saving up for a house, I'm saving up for a cottage, I'm saving up for something. You're just looking to save up for something. You're not waiting, are you? There is no waiting, because you're so busy creating and getting it so that, oh, I wonder what it would be like once I get into this house. I'm going to make sure that the kitchen is in a certain way. And so it's all about creation. None of that is waiting. That is who we are. As humans, we are creators. We love to build things, whether it's building a life, whether it's raising a life, raising a child. We're building something, and we love that. And that's what our biggest asset is, as being human. We are building something. We're creators. The same as the creator. We are doing the same thing as our creator that made us. So we love to create. But we don't feel that same hit, I guess you could call it, or this juice, when we are waiting for something. We think that something has to happen so that we get stuff. So in science, there's a law of what they call cause and effect. If I have a ball, let's say in my hand, and I'm right above the ground, and I choose to let it go. So my creation is letting this go, so motion happens. So then the ball comes down, hits the ground, and bounces. They call that effect. That is the effect. So when we look at it in reverse, what it really means is that the ground was waiting for us to let it go. So it's not in creation mode. And it's on the ground, which is perfectly good in that way, because that is really where the energy of waiting is. It's much lower. We actually lower our vibration when we are in this waiting mode, waiting for something, waiting for somebody, waiting for the money, waiting, and we're just sort of waiting. It's really amazing that when we do that, that anything that we do, we always relate it back to what would it be like to actually create something. And we really do want that to happen. But we are perfectly content. I saw this one quote. It says, "Why is it that many people are perfectly content to wait for others? That puts us at a disadvantage by us settling for being the, not be the effect of creation, but we want to be the cause." In other words, we are choosing to be the effect and sort of discounting the fact that we could create anything. Now, if we look at it this way, the process of waiting when we transfer our creative abilities to someone else so that we can feel good, that we get something. We feel we are creating, but we are kind of not, because we didn't have anything to do with the creation of that. Now, there's a fine line between here, when you're just waiting and nothing else, and you are actually seemingly like you're waiting, because to the untrained eye, it'll look like you're waiting. But if you are visualizing in your mind, that's where creation starts. That's where all creation starts. When we look at the various ways that we make things and do things, come up with new ideas, it's going to come outside of us. And that is in the verge of creation. But we're not actually physically doing anything. So to the untrained eye, it looks like we're waiting. If I'm waiting at a doctor's office, I'm not just sitting there. I've got 14 things going on in my head. Okay, when I get home, I got to do this. Okay, then I'll do that checkup. I can do that for an hour. I'm not waiting. I'm just sitting, not doing anything. Huge difference. So what Spirit is saying is people that are just simply waiting, no brain activity, they're just simply waiting for someone to say, okay, it's your turn, you can go in. That is waiting. This will create the illusion that you can create anything in your life with the condition that other people have to decide and approve on it for you to get it. That's what waiting is in that energy. So when we phrase it that way, and it is a little disrespectful, and I kind of did that on purpose because I want to really make you understand that when you are waiting, your whole being is stopped, it's stagnant. And energetically, it actually brings down your vibration, where you are now subservient to other people's letting the ball go. We're waiting on the ground, waiting for someone to let go of the ball so we can get it to bounce or we'll catch it or whatever it is. But anyway, somebody has to decide to create, and we are now the effect. So when we phrase it that way, all of a sudden it turns people's mind around. It says, oh, okay, well, how do we do this? How do we adjust this? When we are looking for a soulmate, is a good example. I had one yesterday. That's one of the first things that they said, you know, Tony, I've been waiting for 12 years now for a soulmate. And where is he? Where is this amazing man that you keep talking about? You know, that's waiting. That is pure waiting. And I says, well, what have you done in terms of manifesting him? He says, what do you mean? I'm waiting. I'm ready. Okay. And Rumi always says that anything that you want, that thing wants you as well. So if I want to go on a holiday, the holiday energy wants me to be there. If I want to go fishing or camping, or if I want to go to another country, that country wants me because I am wanting to go there. So there's always a reversal of energy. Whatever you want also wants you. If that is right, if you are wanting a soulmate and the soulmate is always this higher level of attraction, in almost like you can't possibly miss this person. It'll be so obvious, you'll look into their eyes, okay, this is it, my search is over. But some people keep saying, where is my man? Where is my woman? So they're in constant waiting. Now, sometimes the energies will be close enough where you both will meet. And then you'll work it out after. But if the gap is a little too far, they're saying, and gap, what I mean by this, looking on the other end of a soulmate, let's say in their 50s or 60s, and you know, you're looking for now another soulmate, let's say your other spouse passed away or there was a divorce or something, and now you want to manifest another amazing person. That person has already been picked out for you, long time, because they knew this was coming. And at that time, the soulmate that is now educated and they know what they want. Because when we're, you know, 18 and 20, we don't know anything. As far as relationships, we know nothing. All we get is this infatuation of love. But when we get in our advanced years, whatever it's 40, 50, 60, whatever it is, we now have been through a couple of relationships. Maybe some were abusive. Maybe some didn't work out. But at the very end, at this point, you know exactly what you want. You want someone who's going to treat you with respect. You want somebody who's going to have a sense of humor and have a list of maybe 20 things. So if that person right now is now looking as their life is already pretty full, their life is full, but they want to share this life with somebody else. So they're not waiting. Does that make sense? They are not waiting because they know what they want. And now they're just putting it out there. If my soulmate is out there, let that energy go and you send it out. So that person is looking for an asset. So there's no hurry because they knew that when they were younger, they hurried and it didn't work out. So now they're saying, okay, let's just slow this down, cowboy. All right, let's make it so that, okay, look, why don't we just take our time and we manifest somebody who's going to be an asset to our life. That's creation. So let's look at the other end. Let's say the person that would normally go to them, they're saying, where is my woman? Where is she? I don't see her. Do you see how one is waiting and they're the effect and the other is creation? Now, if they're so far apart, Spirit is saying, if they're so far apart, the gap is so big, the creative and the creation energy of one soulmate is moving. Because anything in creation moves. Anything that you want to create. There's frenzy of movement and getting things done and getting things together. There's always a great movement. I gave a reading to one of my dear friends very recently, and part of the reading was they're going to get this piece of land and they're going to be able to do stuff on it, and all the things they wanted to do for 20 years can all be done. And she was so excited. Oh, this is so great. And that's all she thinks about now. That's all she's envisioning, what it's like to be there. So vibrationally, she's already on the property. She's already doing her dream, although there's nothing to show for it. But she's there, man. She is so there. She's, I can't wait. This is going to be so great. So she's in the mode of creation. The person that says, well, I hope someday this land comes to me. Oh, wait, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? So now you're in effect, meaning that you're waiting for something or someone else to let it go and to be decided that it's okay for you to let it go to you before you get it. And that's not creation. That is stagnation. Does it make sense in any way that if you are in the mode of creation, you're moving? In the mode of waiting, you're stagnating. So that means one part of you, so if this was like a soulmate type of arrangement, one soulmate is moving, the other is stagnating and standing still. They're actually, your dream is ahead of you. The dream's ahead of you. And here's the danger. The longer that we are in this waiting mode, where is my soulmate? Where is my lover? Where, whatever, if we use that example, very easily can slip into depression where, oh, I've waited so long. I've waited 12 years for this person and I don't think there's any hope for me. Or if that is even anywhere in the entry in your brain, your ego will grab it and you say, yep, you've been waiting all this time. It's probably not going to happen at this point. In other words, you're going to be start talking to yourself. And at that moment, your energy is starting to back up. You're actually reversing the process. It's no longer waiting. You're now going backwards while your creation, your soulmate, is ahead of you. Now, it doesn't mean you've lost your soulmate, because that doesn't happen. Creation doesn't do that. However, the waiting will be longer. Waiting for you to get out of this slump, this rut, whatever that you're in, whatever you're in, to find out, you know what, I'm just going to go on with my life. And it says, okay, this is why so many people, when, like for instance, they want to manifest a child. I get this so much, it's almost comical. They're trying to manifest a child and they just can't. Their first child, they just can't. They're both had their tests and everything's fine, everything's perfect. finally, the doctor says, why don't you guys just relax for a bit? He says, no, no, I want to get a child. We want to start a family. Got to get going. And it just doesn't happen. And then weeks go into months, and months goes into, you know, sometimes years, and still nothing. And then they finally say, okay, well, we've given up on having a child. We're going to adopt. They end up adopting. And then they say, okay, we got our child. Yay, that's great. Let's go on a holiday. Guess what? She's pregnant. Not because she couldn't do it before, but because they're the waiting. When they wait, the child wants to come in, but won't come in under those circumstances, because the child is right from heaven. At least a person that's in their 40s or 50s been away from heaven for a bit, and they're reconnecting, and they're trying to find themselves again, touching heaven in so many ways. And so it's no wonder that they could find it at that time. When we are waiting, it actually slows everything down. So if you look at all the things that you've ever manifested, it was never the time where you're just waiting at the bus stop for the bus to stop, and then someone will come out, pick you up, and put you in the bus. That's kind of what it's like in many ways. But creation doesn't work that way. So, of course, there are many ways that you could raise your vibration in some way, but basically is to keep busy, is to find some way to be able to turn things around where you stop waiting and you are more in the line of really what you want. Because the last thing you want to do is to fall into that depression because you've waited so long. So this is the real dynamic between creation and waiting or effect. You're just waiting for someone to throw you the hay. Like, this is how they feed cows. They put them in a cage and the cow waits to get fed. When they get fed, they're happy. So is that creation? Or is that just effect? Is that just what it is? Not that there's anything wrong with it, because that's how we feed our animals. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not the way that humans were designed. We were not designed to be fed. We were designed to create and manifest. If you have been thinking about your soulmate, or thinking about your goal, thinking about this cottage, this house, this land, or anything you want out of life, make it so you are the creator, so you think exactly what you want, and you're spending most of your time being at that point where you are the version of yourself that already has it. But you don't have it, but you do. When you live in that world, creation will just fall all over itself for you to get it. In this meditation, we're going to play, it's a nice 20 minutes, very relaxing. I've got the tuning forks built into this, and it's a beautiful, very calm soundtrack. What area and what mode do you have to be in so you're not waiting anymore? You're just manifesting it in a very subtle way. And there are two separate vibrational differences for sure. So in some way, put yourself in the mode of creation. What will create this money that you are waiting for? What will create a business that will support you and your family? Instead of saying, oh, you know, I've seen this happen so many times. Not many people are successful at it. Well, what does that have to do with you? Again, you're going back to the effect. You're going back to, I'm waiting again. Instead saying, even if it happens once in a billion people, that will be me. That's creation. In other words, nobody can ever say, I've said this to many people, if you have, let's say, $10,000, would you bet that somebody would not win a lottery? 4 million to 1 that you'll ever win. Maybe 400 million to one. Whatever it is, the odds are so vast that you could win. But nobody will put down money to bet on somebody not winning if they buy a ticket. Because what if they win? What if they win? I'm out. If that says anything to you, even if it's only one, make that you. And I get it. I get the odds are maybe against in so many ways. So in this meditation, I want you to breathe in the color orange. Orange is a beautiful creation color. It's a childlike color. It's a color of creation. It's manifesting exactly what you want in a childlike way.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You could also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.